Hey. All right. Are we live? Yeah. Okay, cool. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the Save Point. I know I'm supposed to sing the intro, so I'm doing this specifically for Mondo because he begged me before I introduce who we are. Welcome. This is the Save Point. Yeah, welcome. Today we have Millie Codes as our guest and just me, Alyssa Rosa, as your host. Mondo will not be joining us today. Sad face. But yeah, we're going to be talking about women in tech. And what better way to do that than with Millie, the coding queen. But yeah, I want Millie to introduce herself to everyone for those who are listening or watching live right now on the VGA stream for the event. We are celebrating Women's History Month. So yeah, Millie, take it away. Introduce yourself. Let people know who
Hello.
You are.
Hello. My name is Millie. I am currently a software engineer working in Brooklyn, New York. I've been a software engineer for about the last 2.5 years. And my path to becoming a software engineer was actually a career switch from, I guess, like a retail sales into a boot camp. And that's how it happened.
Awesome. Awesome. So you definitely know more than I do when it comes to this conversation, obviously. But as we know, there has been a lack of women in the industry. So I really want to know, like, what was it for you that pushed you to go towards it? And who did you kind of like look to as like a guide? And how important was it for you to have a guide in this industry?
Oh, well, I think it was very important once I got to the point where I actually wanted to make it a career. But even when I was younger, I was interested in technology. It was kind of like a general curiosity, just being introduced to technology. I was born before the internet. So as I was growing up, the internet became a thing. So you might be similar to me in that, like, you know, when yes. we were kids, there was no internet. And like once I became a teenager, that slowly became a reality. And, you know, once I think it was like in middle school, maybe I had my first experience in school because we had computer lab classes. So we'd go like twice a week to the computer lab. And then in high school, of course, we had open computer lab access as well. But in terms of like growing up in my household, we didn't really have a computer until I was, you know, in high school. Yeah. But even at that point, there was a lot to be interested in. And it was kind of like a wild, wild west, I guess, the internet, because you really didn't like, you know, once you got on the internet, you kind of didn't know what was there. So there was a lot of things to discover and things to understand. And I became really, really interested in it. But I didn't realize that, you know, working within computers and information technology was even a possible career path growing up. It was always something that was a hobby because I was interested in it, just, you know, it's my curiosity. So I never really thought it was possible, nor did I ever see anybody that had a job in what I'm doing right now. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I had my mom, she was a homemaker. I had my dad, he was a mechanic. And, you know,
yeah, there was nothing.
There was no examples. Yeah, there was no examples. Or even of women doing, you know, those kinds of jobs. So it wasn't even something that was in my head. And then I started early on with websites. Like I bought a domain and I was like designing with Photoshop. I set up a WordPress blog. I had a MySpace. I was making layouts, copying HTML codes and stuff.
Yeah, you were probably the person making my layout and I would just copy the coding and put it on my MySpace. And I had no idea. That's crazy. Yeah. Someone actually already asked a question. Do you do more front-end programming, back-end programming, or full stack, or anything else? They want to know exactly what it
is
that.
So personally, when I was growing up, I was more interested in front-end because it was just, that's visually what we were working on with MySpace. It was all front-end because it was just like HTML, CSS, a little bit of JavaScript here and there. And so that was mainly it. When WordPress came along, I got into more PHP and back-end stuff with databases. Mm-hmm. And then Photoshop was for like designing layouts. And then I continued to learn about that. JavaScript was really, really hard on my own. And finally, when I went to the boot camp that I went to did HTML and CSS, of course, and then introduced us to JavaScript as well as Ruby, and then Ruby on Rails as well. So those are the main technologies that I use every day, along with React. I'm learning more React. And then a little bit of backend with Elixir. Not a lot there, but I would definitely like to learn more Elixir, and also would like to learn more about Python. I think Python.
Okay, cool.
Very interested in that language.
Belgraves just asked, no Python, but you just answered the question. And then also Richie was asking about, do you use any frameworks like React? And you just answered the question as well. So she's well-seasoned, you guys. She's very well-seasoned. I was very lucky that we got to meet before this. And I've been learning along the way because I am one of those people who didn't know that there's more than one possibility to go to get to or to be in the tech world. You know, it's not something that's really glamorized. And I'm more on the gaming end and like the podcasting end versus like behind the scenes and really like making these games or coding or anything like that. And we kind of talked about that, you know, like, why don't we know about these opportunities? And where does this miscommunication comes from? You know, like, where are we missing the mark? Because there was a higher percentage of women that were in tech altogether in the 90s, and then it suddenly just dropped. So we really want to talk about, you know, since they're raising money, VGA guys are raising money for for Girls Who Code, we really want to keep honing in on that and making sure that we're sending a message to young girls or anybody that knows young girls or young women or even older women who want to be in this industry. So what do you think is like keeping girls from being in tech? Like, you know, is it like a lack of support or just like not knowing that there's information out there, that there's ways to get into these programs? Like, what do you think we could do, or like what could be done?
I think the biggest thing is just lack of information and access to that information. We are seeing now, like especially in the last few years in pop culture and media, social media, we are seeing women are, you know, software engineers, mechanical engineers, we're seeing women architects, we're seeing five-star, you know, Michelin chefs that are women. And, you know, years ago, that was definitely not the case. So I think that, you know, with the, you know, invention of the internet and people being more connected and people being able to kind of, you know, with the internet, you can get, you know, into a community that is into what you're into. Like, no matter what you're into, you can find your group of people on the internet. You can find careers that 10, 15 years ago, we didn't even know existed because of the internet. So I think that just access and just knowing, I think also with that lack of access and lack of knowing is also kind of a class issue too, because you see people that have the means, that have the money, they have that access. There's people who live in, you know, communities that are low income, that are on the, you know, poverty line, and we see public schools that don't get financial, you know, given any financial, means, the same as a community that, you know, has money it. So, you know, when you have money and means, you have access to technology because, I mean, it's money. You can buy access to those things. And I think that when you're coming from a low income or a more diverse community, those things are really missing. And I think that, you know, with the internet and everybody also being more aware comes that money. And I was telling you before, like, we could definitely solve this problem. Money.
Yes.
We could throw money at it and it's helping. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Money helps. Money can help us get our hardware. We can get laptops to kids.
Yes.
We can, you know, fund a summer program that pays for their Metro card or their transportation and right. feeds them and shows them, you know, the basics of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript so they can, you know, be more interested, you know, in these types of careers.
Right.
And we can also tell them that you're going to make a good amount of money.
Yes.
There is so much opportunity for individuals right now in technology to get into a high level of income. And it's not really that hard. I mean, a junior developer in New York City is averaging, what, like 70 or 80K a year on
really
a salary?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that alone will push a household income, you know, to another level. And it's gonna provide for not just an individual, but an entire family.
Right.
And, you know, when we have these opportunities, we can pass them on to other people, right? So
yes.
I think that, you know, it's just a step in the right direction, but it's like a huge, huge step that we could take that can help
yeah.
us all.
I definitely agree. And I think even with what, you know, VGA is doing with, like, you know, giving to charity and things like that, or just giving to these programs, it's just important because it lets these young girls know, or just like young kids in general across the board, but we're specifically talking about young girls, that they can do this and there are a group of people, or at least so many people, that are going to sit here and support them. Zeus asked, I don't know if you know of any, he wants to know if there's anything that exists that possibly introduce programming to a child younger than 3. I personally don't know anything, but I don't know if you know of any programs that start when they're actually like toddlers or like younger.
For that age, it's a little bit difficult, but we're finding now children's books, maybe children's videos or movies or shows that are introducing more technical and logical things, more science, mm-hmm. technology, and math. Even things like Dora the Explorer and
yes.
Bob's Builder, like, these are introducing new concepts to children at a younger age. So I think that if you're a young parent or you have somebody very young in your life, that it's going to be very essential for you to support them and also take your ideas and your biases about gender and try to mm-hmm. just get them out of the way, because that's
yes.
not going to help them.
Speaking of biases of gender, do you feel like another reason why girls... the communication is not theirs because of the lack of women that we see? Do you think that's like vital for them at all? Or just in society, like, are we not talking about, like, should we talk more about women in tech and how it could be beneficial? I remember when we had our conversation earlier this week, you were saying there are things that only women can really speak to, especially in the tech world, and how it impacts us and how it affects us versus having a male be the voice for that. So do you think that's important at all? Yeah.
It's definitely important. And there's a lot of history early on in technology and computer science where women, especially like mathematicians and like building computers and things like that, where women were essential. Women were the ones that were punching the numbers. Women were the ones that were creating these codes. You know, there's women early on, Black women at NASA, that were creating these programs for these, you know, missions to go, you know, to get out there. So, and definitely those stories, not necessarily that they're silenced, but they're not celebrated.
Right.
So now within the last few years, like I said, we see, you know, references to these women. We see movies about these women that are now like on the big screen. We also have programs that are specifically for women because how you mentioned earlier, a lot of women end up, you know, not staying in the industry long term because they don't feel like they belong, because they don't see themselves here. So program like Women Who Code and Girls Who Code, they have specific programs that will bring together groups of diverse women in the classroom, because that is shown to be more effective than them being in co-ed classrooms, because they feel very much like other. Just like if you're like, you know, sometimes women are doubly biased because we are Latino or we're Black and we're women as well.
Of course. And so we've been talking about, you know, how in the world, basically, like, you started out in sales, like you weren't necessarily on the end of, like, behind the scenes, actually inside tech. You were at the front end selling the product. What are other opportunities that in case someone is like, I don't know that I have the ability to code, but they have a familiarity in sales themselves, like what are some of the other options they can take behind the scenes in tech?
Well, there's definitely jobs beyond just being a software engineer. You can be a program or a product manager. You can be marketing, you can do scrum manager. You can also do sales. You could do sales for software. Software sales is a huge industry where you see like direct business to business trying to get software used by other industries. And you see that the income potential there is sky high because you're gonna get a high base salary. And since you're in sales, you're getting a huge commission. So if you are very people oriented, very social, and you're not necessarily thinking that you want to do coding forever, you can definitely get into sales. You could do marketing. You can be a product manager where you kind of discuss, the product and the team and you know, what's going on to other people. So you're like a liaison. But there's, and you could do like UX and UI design if you're more artistic. But I think that you also, if you wanting to get in this industry, you should also take a step back and realize that just because you're not what you would call technically inclined, that you don't have any value to give. So I was in sales and I love talking to people and I really, really enjoyed my job because, you know, I was doing sales and I got commission, of course, and I had really good benefits. But I really enjoy talking to people. People would come into the store. I used to work at a T-Mobile. I was doing sales at T-Mobile. So I would have customers that would come in every few weeks and, you know, they were regulars. They were people that were older that I was trying to help because I was really able to explain to them in the most basic terms how to understand the technical things that were going on their phone, right? Or on their iPad. You know, showing people how to use certain things, you know, if there was something wrong with their machine or their phone, they knew that I was the person, and they also understood that I had a really good way to kind of explain. So I think that's a skill too. A lot of times when people talk about software engineers, they talk about really socially awkward people, like nerdy people. And there's definitely a number of my coworkers who are that way. And I respect that. But I think that I bring my own qualities, you know, because I'm not like that. So I really have good success talking to other people on my team, people who are more like product and marketing, people who are doing sales, because I can kind of communicate to both sides. Yeah. And I think that is a huge quality that really works in my favor. And if you're somebody similar like that, then I think you would have good success too. You just have to get that little bit of confidence, because it is very scary to start, especially when you're doing a career change. It's a very scary thing, especially when you walk into a room and these are people who have gone to college, and some of them are like, you know, masters and PhDs, and they are so technical, and you just feel so small. But you got to realize that you also bring something into that room, because otherwise you wouldn't be in that room.
Yeah. So I feel like a good question that I have is like, how did you conquer that? You know, I think a lot of women will say, you know, even it doesn't necessarily have to be a tech space. It could be any space where they feel as if they don't belong. And me being on the gaming end, it's sometimes you feel weird stepping into a space where it's looked at as mostly a male dominant, you know, area. How did you overcome those obstacles? And do you feel more confident in yourself today with, you know, with where you're at and going forward and stuff like that?
Yeah. When I first started, I was extremely scared. There's this thing called imposter syndrome, and you know, where you, in my field, it's very high. It's like to the extreme, because you know you're in these groups of, you know, with people who are so much more that you would think that are so much more skilled than you are. But I don't know, like I was definitely scared, but in, you know, on the same token, I was also very comfortable in myself. I didn't think that I was better than anybody else, but I also thought that I was unique. And when I first started working, I was an intern. So, you know, I understood that being an intern, I wasn't expected to know everything. I wasn't expected to be like, you know, making these huge strides, but I understood that I had some progress to make. I took advantage of my position. I asked so many questions, and I made sure that, you know, when I was introduced in a room or a meeting, that people understood who I was and what I was doing there. And I wasn't somebody's assistant. I'm a software engineer, and, you know, I just, I kind of held people to those higher expectations. And I think it worked out in my favor. I definitely had a little bit of confidence there because I kept on telling myself, like, you're not here just to take up space. You're here because they expect you to do something, right? And they have faith that you're going to perform. And I think that that's important. I definitely had mentors and people around me who gave me that support. I also was going to like a counselor once a week. So I was like verbalizing these thoughts and all of these doubts. And, you know, my counselor, she's like, well, you know, you're not just there, like I said, just to take up space. You're there because they want you there. You're there because you're doing a good job. You must be doing something right. So, you know, don't be so negative about yourself. Give yourself some credit. Because I promise you, all these mediocre men are giving themselves a lot of credit.
That's the best way to put it. No shade against them. But you know, you've worked really hard, especially because, you know, from your background, you, like you said, you didn't have the traditional way of like going to college. And then, you know, it took you a little bit longer than, I guess, your average person who knows exactly what they, I mean, or not very average person who knows exactly what they want to do when they want to do it. But I love that you're filling a space. You're not filling a space in a sense like, oh, I'm just here. You're making space for more women and young girls to like make their presence known in this industry, which I know is very important to you. But also what I know is very important to you is the fact that it's not just about the gender. It's also about accessibility for everyone across the board. We kind of dived into this a little bit off when we were chatting, but I really want you to shed some light on the accessibility for people who have disabilities, because I don't think that that's something that we always think about. When we spoke, I told you, you know, there's certain video games like Fortnite that they have special features for people who are deaf specifically. And one of their biggest competitors, Ewok, she's a young girl, and she's won championships before. So I just want you to shed some light on that, since that's something that you truly are passionate about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you were telling me about that, I didn't, because I did ask you, you know, if you know of any gamers that are popular, that are, you know, have disability or any accessibility issues. And I was very surprised to learn that, you know, there are several gamers out there who, you know, are not 100% abled and are doing really well, especially on, you know, Twitch. So I think that's pretty interesting. The current work that I'm doing, a lot of the work that I've been doing lately in the past few months, the past year, has been to address accessibility issues. So you know, my company is a telemedicine company. So it's obvious that we want to make sure that all of our users, everybody that comes to our website, everybody that uses our applications can use it fully without issue. We want to make sure that everything works, you know, whether, you know, you're using a keyboard or a mouse, or if you're using some other, maybe like a screen reader or tabbing with keyboard for any other reason. And if you're visually impaired, we also have to account for that. So a lot of things, a lot of websites actually, like the big chunk, the big majority of websites are in some way inaccessible to, you know, the full spectrum of people. So we're trying to remediate that specifically on our website and our application. So my job has been to kind of audit all of our issues. So I will go in, you know, and tab through with the screen reader and make sure that everything reads out 100%, everything is clear, everything makes sense when somebody is tabbing the correct order, everything is announced. If you're visually impaired, you want to make sure that the contrast is high enough where you can actually differentiate between the different buttons or anything that needs to be clicked. It's a really tedious thing to do.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But at the same time, it's probably the most worthwhile thing that a website or, you know, a company that has applications can do, because that means that more people are going to be able to access and use your product. And especially when it comes to video games, that yes. means that more people are going to enjoy, more people are going to share, you know, and it really isn't fun, you know, when, you know, you're sharing something that you love with somebody else and they can't fully enjoy it the way that you do. So I think it totally makes sense. And my company is an international company, so we have offices in Canada, we have European, we have Brazil, the US. And in Canada, they actually started to fine companies really heavily for not wow. having accessible websites. So that is the first, you know, application that we're looking into, the Canadian side, so we can address all of those issues as soon as possible, because the fines are like six-figure fines on a regular basis. And my company just told me within the last week or two that they're going to devote a significant amount of budget. They're going to try to create a team that deals with accessibility. And guess who is going to be on that team? Me.
You. Yes. Congratulations. I don't know if you want to share, but you were just promoted.
Yes, I was.
Yes. So, you know, like we said, Millie is out here doing her thing. She's making a difference, which is like the coolest thing ever. And it's all I've ever wanted to do with my life, is just make a difference and make sure that women feel included. And again, I just want to thank you for being with us, because it was really hard for us to find another woman to speak to outside of you. It was just proving our point that, you know, there's not a lot of women in this space, and we wish there was more women to get, you know, information from. But it does seem as if, like, you know, we're making a little bit of, you know, like a little bit progress. Of a jump. Little progress. Like, we have Girls Who Code, Women Who Code. You volunteered yourself. So can you share some volunteer work that you've done, and just like programs you know of, and, you know.
For sure. So when I was doing my boot camp, I really was struggling trying to find my first job or internship or apprenticeship or anything. And it was just so hard. So at first I tried to volunteer with this program. And I was thinking, like, yeah, this is something I'm going to get it on my resume.
Yes.
For my own benefit. But so it ends up being a volunteer program. It's called Code Nation. And they have an organization in New York City. I believe there's also one in San Francisco. There might be some other areas as well. But Code Nation pretty much has a program where we provide classes for high school students. So we go to different public schools and we present them, like, hey, we want to teach kids how to code. and we want to have a class in your school. So we would have, like, if you're in high school, you'd have like a class two times or three times a week, whatever it was. And it would be your, that hour or that period, it would be your introduction or foundation in programming. So we would teach the kids the original first year basics of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And then in the next, like the second year, we would take them to a specific organization or a company, and we would have the classes there. So the first year, I did 2 years with them in Williamsburg High School for Arts and Science, and taught a bunch of kids there the basics. And then when I graduuated to like the next level, we were going to Etsy. So Etsy has a huge headquarters. I think it's a headquarters, but it's a huge office building in Brooklyn by like Dumbo area. And they gave us like a room, and they gave us the laptops and everything. They gave us snacks for the kids. So they kind of sponsored the program. So and everything is free to the students. So even when they come to the high school classes, we'll do we bring a big thing of laptop, and each of them will get their laptop every time they come to the class. So they'll have their laptop, and then throughout the school year, we're also bringing them to different companies, kind of like field trips, so they actually can see what in a software engineer, or you know, being a software engineer at a company actually looks like. We usually talk to software engineers within that company, especially if they're like women or more diverse software engineers. We just have them talk to the kids. Like, we'll do, like, we're just trying to get these kids access. So we want to show them, because if you're just a public school kid, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you don't know what's going
on. So this is kind of like a step in the right direction, because what we want to do ideally is show them that this is a viable career path, that you're going to do something that makes a difference. You're going to be doing something that's fun. You're going to be doing something that pays good. And then you're going to be working out of an office that they have like a pool table, and they have a cafeteria where you could eat.
Yeah, like, it's like cool.
Isn't that like a dream?
Yeah, it's like a chill. You get to chill and work at the same time. It's just so nice.
Yeah. So I think the goal is, you know, with the first year and the second year, is to kind of foster the idea of a career in technology for these kids, and support them and follow them through like college. If they need help with internships, we provide that as well. We also, like, at the end of the school year, before the summer comes, we give them like a presentation about all the different summer programs, and one of them is Girls Who Code. So New York City Girls Who Code, before, you know, everything went to quarantine, they usually also have a summer program, which they provide transportation, metro cards, they provide food and snacks, and they also provide laptops for the students to use. And it's not just women, it's also, you know, folks who identify as women, you know, LGBT.
LGBT, that's also important as well, getting light on that as well,
So that is one. There's also, if you know of any young men that are persons of color, high school young men, Black, Latino, there's also this organization called All-Star Code that is specifically for young men of color, because those numbers are really low as well. So that's another really good organization. And then we have all these groups that are resource groups for, you know, people who fit into different categories, whether you are LGBTQ, you're a woman, you're a person of color, you're a Latino. There are so many different groups that you can be a part of. And if you live in a city that is large enough, you can find so many free opportunities, free courses, meetups, things like that. Now everything has gone more remote, but I mean, there's really so much to take advantage that it's like the list can go on and on. And I think that the first step and the biggest step that we have, the biggest hurdle, is just that not enough people know about it.
Right.
So I think that, you know, with this and even just like tweeting about things and sharing things, that's going to make a huge, huge difference. Because, you know, how you said earlier, like these industries are not diverse enough. So
yes.
How do we expect, you know, a group of white, Asian, male, primarily that's what we see in technology, to create solutions that are going to address the problems that somebody like you or me are facing.
Yes. It's really hard too. Cause I was even just thinking when you spoke about, I didn't even put into perspective the pandemic and like what that's done and like how that's probably, obviously it's affected us as adults, but it's definitely affected kids too, because they were so used to going into a space that they could just freely, openly be themselves, and then having to stay home for almost 2 years now, depending on where they live and if their schools are physically open and stuff like that. So I don't even know if you know of anything, like, do the programs stay the same? You know, how do, like, do you even know if there was any difference between like last year and this year with when it comes to the kids and like how they are able to do these programs? Like, did they do them at home? Do they have to physically go, but like it'd be only a certain amount of them that can go at a time? If you know, I don't know if you know.
Yeah, so as far as specifically with programs like Code Nation that has summer, and also Girls Who Code that have summer programs, last summer they went remote. This summer, I think it's still in the air. I don't know if they've finalized. I think they might still be doing remote. I also do volunteer mentoring with a lot of women or young girls, and they've also talked about how, you know, their classes have all gone remote. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, we see a lot of young kids that have lost their internships for the summer coming up. And it's really something that takes a toll on young people, especially because these young people have been working so hard and trying for so long to, you know, get these opportunities. Right. It feels kind of like a personal blow to them, unfortunately. And it's, you know, especially for the more diverse candidates,
it's
much more difficult. And speaking about the pandemic and how it's affected us just in general, my specific job hasn't changed. I have not lost one single day of work due to the pandemic. I just simply converted over to work from home. I can do my job 100% remote. I could, you know, if I wanted to, I can go to the beach and work from there. So that is another plus. Like in technology, I think this is one of the few business sectors that has not seen a hit at all. So we see a lot of lower income jobs, retail jobs, food service workers that end up being laid off or lose their job. And that can affect an entire family, an entire community. And so that's another reason why you want to get into these, you know, tech careers, because there is a significant amount of job safety within these careers and so much more flexibility. There's people out there doing jobs in technology that we never even heard of that are making like six figures. And it's not any much, I mean, personally, I don't think that, you know, jobs can be so much more difficult, but they're just, you know, specific to this industry, and, you know, they pay really well. So,
yeah,
I mean, this, you know, especially, you know, if you've been thinking about moving into technology and getting into it, this is the time, because what else is there?
You know, literally, and it's I can speak to that of the job market of today and like how it was already hard prior, you know, and especially if you, even if you have, you know, your degree, your bachelor's degree, it's still not enough these days, which is like so crazy to think about. Because when I talk to my parents, that's not the same thing that they say to me. And, you know, they really push. It's crazy because they really push that on you when you're in school and when you're going through high school and like even in college. But it's so interesting because people, you go to school for stuff and then you still can't get a job. But to know that the tech industry is searching for all of us out here that need jobs, this is where we need to be. We need to get our education on point, learn some stuff, learn some programs, and, you know, then we could feel maybe comfortable in the way that we want to live and surviving in this world. I think one thing you really did want to talk about too was the money aspect. Like, people don't, I mean, I obviously schooling, we can talk about how much schooling is and like realistically how that could be, but other options, like you did a boot camp and you were blessed because you went on like basically a scholarship. And then even then after that, you know, you really didn't have to come out of pocket like that, which I think is incredible. But a lot of people don't know. They don't know there's options like that. We're all thinking, well, I got to come out of pocket. So yeah, if you can give us some, you know, intel, like little.
Well, it's actually funny that you said that these jobs are looking for you, because all of these jobs, they are looking for you. They're looking for women. They're looking for people of color. They're looking to diversify their numbers. Because nowadays, especially in the last year, it's become kind of an issue, you know, with Black Lives Matter. And especially with more women, you know, being in the news and the media, like it's a real problem. Diversity in technology is a huge problem. And so when you say that they're looking for you, you're 100% right. All of these companies, they want you. They want somebody that looks like you. They want somebody, you know, who is Black, Latino, women, anything, LGBT, whatever. Yes. Like if you can check off a box,
they want you.
And they might not say it in those many words, but you need to understand that you are valuable. At least if, you know, even if, you know, it's just something that's like checking a box, like if that gets you to the next step, then take advantage of it.
Exactly.
I was trying to go to a boot camp for a number of years, you know, while I was, you know, working retail. And the main thing that really, was like an issue for me was justifying quitting my job and losing all of that full-time income plus commission, losing my insurance, and also then after losing that, coming out of pocket anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 to go to a boot camp full-time for anywhere from 3 to 5 months, and then spend another 3 to 5 months looking for a job. So, I mean, especially for people who are low income, that's a huge, huge risk and a huge step to even justify taking. So me being the person that I am, always trying to hustle, I was searching for free like programs. I was applying for scholarships. I was just doing so much. And a lot of the times the scholarships were for like lower income, or like if you were a woman, you would get like, if they accepted you, you would get like 1,000 or 5,000 knocked off. And then I went to this website for a boot camp, and they had something about a program called Tech Talent Pipeline. And that's a program that I applied for. So Tech Talent Pipeline is a program that is sponsored by the city of New York. And they sponsor boot camps, and they also have college courses that you could take. So like whatever level you're at. So if you're a college student, they can help you and give you like free help with classes or programs that are in college. And then if you're like an adult and you want to kind of change careers, they can help you by covering you to go. And it's all 100% covered. So with this program, I applied. I wrote like my little amazing essay, and I proved it. I think the proof was that you had to make like less than 50,000 in the last year. So I think the last year previous that I made like 30 grand that year. It was a bad year. Every year before I got the job was a bad year.
Retail is what it is at the end of the day. It is what it's a rough industry, honestly. So, it really is.
So I took all the steps. I didn't really think much of it. I'm a real skeptical person, so I never got excited about it. So I just took the steps, I did the program, and then like a few weeks later, they asked me to submit some financial documents just to prove my income, and I did that, signed some stuff, and I was like, all right, cool, whatever. they're probably going to deny me in a few weeks. But they actually sent me an email and they told me I was accepted. And so that same day, I spoke to my manager and I was like, I'm putting in my notice.
Yeah, you said 2 weeks, gotta go, getting my life together. Nothing against you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I was like, this is the sign that I need. If this is financially covered, I don't have to come out of pocket for this. I have, you know, some money that I can pay my rent for a few months. Everything's covered. Everything's planned up. Mm-hmm. Then the only thing is, like, do I think that I could do it? Do I think that I would be successful? And at the end of the day, it's like, if I'm taking that risk, there was no other option than to be successful, because what's the other outcome? Like, if I'm not successful, then I'm back to working retail, and that it just didn't make any sense. So I like put so much into it. The boot camp was like 9 to 5 every day, and I stayed, like, even after the boot camp was done, I stayed after until like 8, 9, 10. I would go home, sleep, and then come right back. So I was like really, really into it. I was one of the people in the program who actually did very well, and I'm not just saying that just to my own horn. But I was like one of the people who did very well. I put in a lot of time and a lot of effort, and I took the most out of it that I could get. So I like to say that you got to take advantage of what other people take for granted, because that's really what's going to make a difference for you. You don't take that shot and make the most out of it, then you might as well not have taken that shot at all, right? Yeah. So you gotta shoot your shot. So that was me shooting my shot, and so I like put everything into it, and I feel like because I put everything into it, I finally, you know, got as much as I could out of it. There was an apprenticeship, but that never materialized. There was also part of that program, because it was kind of like the pilot program, that never really materialized. It was a paid apprenticeship for 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I also left my job thinking that there would, you know, be something there lined up, but that didn't work out. So I was like, all right, great. So that's not gonna happen. So I pretty much just converted my entire online persona just to be Millie Codes.
Awesome.
And you know, everything, like I said, everything from that program was covered. So I didn't really have any cost out of pocket. So that really put me in a really good position. I changed my Twitter handle. I got my domain name. I updated my LinkedIn website, everything. And so like every day I would tweet about what I was doing, things I was learning. And that's how I actually got my internship. So, you know, it's kind of like, steps.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, little steps along the way to get to where you are today, and it's honestly admirable. It's literally motivating me to like do the things that I say I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we always talk about we want to do stuff, but then you never do it. It's just, and honestly, money tends to be the issue, and it's the scary part about it. But we only have about 10 minutes left, you know, to talk about this to everyone. I mean, we kind of talked about what more could be done, you know, when it comes to like funding. Obviously, you said money is the greatest thing that you could give people, especially these programs, because these are kids who don't have, you know, maybe they go home and they don't have the PC or whatever it may be that they need to do these things from home, but they get to go to these programs to get the materials that they need and to learn more. So again, there's that awareness. I mean, you know, we're trying our best. We're trying to fill the gender gap, basically. There's a huge gender gap. And obviously we're trying to teach kids at a young age, but I feel like we genuinely wanted to end on something that was what we both thought was good. It's just about like gender neutrality in the tech industry.
Yeah.
And letting kids know that like you could be a woman and do this, but you could also be a queer male and do this, or you could be a non-binary individual and do this. And it's just so important for us to talk about it. Also, Mixolator said, let's talk crypto and the future of tech one day. Would love to. You know, we would love to. Also NFTs. But yeah, we just want to talk about gender neutrality because, like you said, it's a space for everyone. It's not limited just to white or Asian men. It's for women of all color, men of all color, and just non-binary people of all color, LGBTQ plus as well. So yeah, let's end on that beautiful, beautiful note.
So I guess this message is for just everybody in general. Technology needs these kids, right? So if you have a young person in your life, boy, girl, whatever, try to give them the tools. And if you can't give them the tools, at least try to give them your support. I know plenty of gamers and, you know, people just who I interact with on social media who in the past few years have become new parents. And it's really important that you teach your children about, you know, gender neutrality and, you know, teach, you know, both boys and girls how to behave, you know, and how to kind of support, you know, each other. I think that's the most important thing. And if you do have a young person in your life, support them in any way you can. If you want to, you can even try to bribe them. I have a niece, so I'm trying to bribe her to take some coding courses. And so far, it's not really working, but I told her that I would pay her like $20 every time she got through it.
There you go.
So I think that if, you know, if you have a young person in your life and you see that they're interested in something that is, you know, science, math, or technology based, that you really need to nurture that. Because you're going to not only help them, you're going to help yourself as well. And I think you're going to make also a more equitable future. Things in technology are going to be able to serve us all equally instead of perpetuating the biases that we have right now. And definitely go buy some crypto.
That's true. Final thoughts on this the matter. Yes, go buy some crypto. After we spoke, I was like, maybe I should research this so that I know because it seems as if, you know, Bitcoin, crypto, and all that stuff is definitely going to be probably the way of the world sooner rather than later.
Yes, and you know who's buying crypto? Men. So if you are a female here, go buy yourself some crypto because when crypto goes up, who's going to be rich? These men.
Us. Oh, well, them, yeah. Well, us women will be
rich too.
I mean,
I will because I have crypto.
Yes, there you go. Exactly. You are the percentage we need to get to know about this.
And that's another thing that I talk about a lot. Like, I don't really tweet a lot nowadays, but when I do tweet, it's either about like technology and statistics and technology and software engineering, and also about crypto. And I actually, this week, I just bought my first NFT. And I'm very happy and excited about the promise of, you know, NFTs and how that's going to like explode in the next few years. And I think that more people should get into it.
Okay. I got to do my research because I'm trying to get rich. I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to get rich. I'm not just trying to be like a little gamer girl with a podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to live comfortably. But yes, yeah, I just want to say thank you for joining us again. You were going to say, go ahead.
No, I think that there's so much more that I wish that I could do. Like, I would definitely like to be more of a gamer. I definitely want to learn more about crypto and talk about that. I, you know, want to be able to get more people into programming and software engineering. But it's just so time consuming.
Of course.
And, like, I even, like, you know, when I was in the Discord channel, I was, very obsessed about Animal Crossing. And probably, like, early on into last year, like, towards the middle of the year, I kind of had to disengage because I had to really focus on my work. And I was trying to get this promotion, trying to get a raise. And, you know, I recently got that promotion. So, it was worth it, but I'm definitely like mentally, because of everything going on, I think I need to get back into it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we're here. The VGA guys are here. The channel is still live. But yeah, I think you should. I mean, gaming is fun. It's a great way to relax and to, especially Animal Crossing. They got all this new stuff going on, girl. You got to check it out. They got all this new stuff.
No. And shout out to video games being more female friendly, especially Animal Crossing, really catering to that group of female gamers.
Yes.
Smartest
simulation
thing.
Games Smart. Are the best. Yes. They're the greatest things to ever happen to us. But we're going to wrap this up. I just want to say thank you again to Millie for being with us today. Where can everyone find you on social media so that they can keep up with you and crypto and anything related to coding?
So the biggest way to stay in contact with me is on Twitter. Like I said, I don't, you know, tweet a lot of general things nowadays. It's more about software engineering and crypto. But if you want a response from me, send me a tweet. And if you need advice, if you need, you know, any information about a program that we mentioned or something specific that you're looking for, reach out to me. I will get you that information.
There you go. And we could just find you at MillieCodes, literally, right?
That's at MillieCodes.
Yes. We have it here on the stream. It'll be in the information if you're listening to the podcast on all podcast services. Again, shout out to Millie for stopping by. Shout out to the VGA team for having the Save Point and Millie on again. Let's keep it up. We have a slew of people still today, a bunch of amazing women.
Yeah.
I was bumping. Hi, Mabel. I was bumping.
Yes.
Rosa. She had the hits. I was
so much fun.
Yes, it was great. But yeah, the guys are always doing so many great things. And I feel so honored to be here with you today, to be able to talk to you.
And shout out to them. Shout out to them for putting this on.
It has
been so amazing that you guys have found a way to really support women and bring them into the conversation in technology and everything and gaming. So I think that huge shout out to you guys.
Yeah, for sure. And we will have Millie on again, I'm sure. We're going to have this whole crypto talk because I need to learn. Mondo will be a part of it next time. Also, shout out to Mondo. Respectfully, he was like, it's a woman's thing. I'm gonna let you do it. And he's the sweetest, the true pro out of the two of us. But yes, thank you guys so much. I think that's it. I mean, I don't have anything else to say to you.
No, keep gaming.
Cool. Yes, keep gaming. Play some Animal Crossing for Millie while she...
Let me know about that Sanrio stuff that they just put out.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So exciting.
We did that.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right.